بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ساكن. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إمام حاكم رحمة الله عليه وليس حديث مستدرك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم summoned the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم close to the minbar. Said to them, come close to the minbar. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum gathered. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended the first step of the minbar and said, Ameen. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then ascended the second step of the minbar and said, Ameen. He then ascended the third step of the minbar and said, Ameen. Afterwards, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu why he had said Ameen on the ascension of each step, something which they had never seen him do previously. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I ascended the minbar, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me. And when I placed my foot on the first step of the pulpit, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam made a dua. And the dua was that, O Prophet of Allah, may that person be removed and distanced from Allah's mercy, who finds the month of Ramadan, and then the month of Ramadan passes, and he has not yet earned his forgiveness. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Ameen.
Can you repeat that last word
again?
I could not hear.
Bismillah. There's something wrong. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is that clear? I was mentioning, this is a brief dars of hadith, so I quoted the hadith of Imam Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi, which he has related in his Al-Mustadrak, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, he summoned the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum close to the minbar. They gathered. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar. He placed his foot on the first step of the pulpit and said Ameen. On the second step he said Ameen. On the third step of the minbar he said Ameen. After the sermon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum that today, O Prophet of Allah, we have seen you do something that we have never seen you or heard you say and do before. You ascended the minbar and upon each step you said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Why? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that when I ascended the minbar, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me. And when I placed my foot on the first step of the minbar, he said, Ya Rasulullah, may that person be removed from Allah's mercy and distanced from Allah's mercy, who finds the month of Ramadan, and then the month of Ramadan passes, and yet he still does not earn his forgiveness. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Amen. He then continued that when I placed my foot on the second step of the minbar, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam made a dua that, O Prophet of Allah, may that person be removed and distanced from Allah's mercy, in whose presence your noble name is mentioned, and yet he does not recite salat and salam upon you. So I said, Ameen. When I placed my foot on the third step of the minbar, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to me, O Prophet of Allah, may that person be removed and distanced from the mercy of Allah, who during his lifetime finds one or both of his parents, and then he is still unable to earn Allah's forgiveness and entry into Jannah through his service of one or both of his parents. So I said, Ameen. Now, this is a hadith, Allahu Akbar. To put it simply, the leader of all the angels, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who is described as a friend of Allah, and whom Allah says in the Quran, that whoever is an enemy of Jibreel, Allah is his enemy. من كان عدوا لله وملائكته ورسله وجبريل وميكائيل فإن الله عدو للكافرين. Whoever is an enemy of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His angels and Jibreel, Allah mentions particularly, and Mikael, then know that Allah is the enemy of the disbelievers. That Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the chief and leader of all angels, he makes a dua where in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the leader of all the prophets says Ameen to that dua. What a powerful dua, what a powerful Ameen. And there are three duas. This is a curse. This is not just a dua, but in the Asian languages this is referred to as a baddu'a, a curse. Because la'na, the Arabic word for curse, la'na, actually means to be removed from the mercy of Allah. If someone is struck by the curse of Allah, that person is deprived of the mercy of Allah. So la'na actually means to be deprived of the mercy of Allah. To be distanced from the rahmah of Allah is la'na. So the dua that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was making, although the words were different, in essence it was a curse. And it was a la'na. That may that person be cursed. Who? First of all, who finds the month of Ramadan, and then the month of Ramadan passes without this individual having earned his forgiveness. And the second dua, that may that person be cursed in whose presence your name is mentioned and he does not send salat and salam upon you. And the third dua, that he finds one or both of his parents during his life on earth and he is unable to earn Allah's forgiveness and entry into Jannah through his service of both or even one of these parents. Now the other two are important topics in their own right, but we don't have time to elaborate on them. Salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and khidmat and the service of one's parents. We pray that Allah grants us all the tawfiq to recognize the rights of our parents over us and to also recognize the rights and the haqq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over us. Allah increases in our rightful love of both the Messenger of Allah and our parents. And may Allah give us a tawfiq to fulfill both their rights and our obligations and duties towards. I'll concentrate on the first part of the hadith, which is related to Ramadan and finding and discovering the month of Ramadan and yet not earning Allah's forgiveness. It's very similar in one hadith related by Ibn Majah in his Sunan and also by other authors. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever is deprived of the good of Laylatul Qadr, he is deprived of all good. And in another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speaking in general of the month of Ramadan, says, whoever is deprived of the good of the month of Ramadan, he is deprived of all good. And it's very easy to understand why. Ramadan is a unique time. It's a very unique opportunity. Allah has made it so easy for us. First of all, as an incentive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased the reward of Ramadan. In that famous long hadith of Salman al-Farsi radiyallahu anhu, recorded by Ibn Khuzaymah in his Sahih and by Imam Bayhaqi and by others, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man taqarraba fihi bi khaslatin min al-khayr." كان كمن أدى فريضة فيما سواه. ومن أدى فيه فريضة كان كمن أدى 70 فريضة فيما سواه. Whoever comes close to Allah by performing one good deed in this month, Allah will grant him the reward of a farad deed. And whoever performs a farad deed in this month, Allah will grant him the reward of 70 farad deeds. So one, Allah has increased the reward. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi also relates, it's not a hadith but it's an athar from one of the tabi'een. And that tabi'i relates, and undoubtedly something like this he must have heard from a sahabi radiallahu anhu, though we can't categorically state that it is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, Imam Tirmidhi, this Imam of hadith, has included this hadith in his sunnah. It's not a hadith, it's an athar. And the athar is that one tasbih in Ramadan is equivalent to 1,000 tasbih otherwise. We also learn from a sahih hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari and by others that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Umratun fi Ramadan kahajjatin," and in one narration, "kahajjatin ma'i." One umrah in Ramadan is equivalent to a hajj, and in one narration, one umrah in Ramadan is equivalent to doing hajj with me. So, in every way that you look at it, Allah has made, first of all, made Ramadan a special time and opportunity for us by increasing the reward. It's a sale. And just as there are queues for sales, and there is a mad rush for sales, when IKEA opens its stores, even in Middle Eastern countries, there is a mad rush where people fall over one another, trample on one another, and ultimately becomes items of furniture themselves. And people are then rushed to hospital and hospitalized and treated, even in Middle East and Muslim countries. And it's not just in Muslim countries, but even in non-Muslim Western countries, when there is a mad rush, even in this country there was a case, a mad rush, people fall over each other, trample on each other, all to save a few bobs and pennies. People queue for days from before, outside, in winter, in the freezing cold, astaghfirullah, on New Year's Eve, especially on New Year's Eve, and they queue up till in the early in the morning, when the doors are flung open like mad little children let loose in Charlie's Chocolate Factory. They run amok like bulls in a china shop. All of this to save a few pennies. This is a sale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised as much. This is not a 10% reduction. This is not a 50% reduction. This is not buy one, get one free. This is from Allah. Do one deed, I will give you the reward of 70 deeds. Do one deed, I will give you the reward of a farad deed. Do umrah, and I will give you the reward of doing hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Allah appoints angels in this month. What do the angels say? Each night the angels call out, "Ya baghi al-khayr aqbil wa ya baghi al-shar aqsir." O seeker of good, come forward, and O seeker of evil, desist. So first of all, Allah has made it very easy for us by promising us a greater reward. Number two, okay. O Allah, we are distracted. We are distracted by shaitan. We are distracted by the evil jinn. We are distracted by the shayateen. They lure us, they seduce us, they attract us, they incite us to committing evil. Allah, things aren't easy. Okay, the shayateen are all locked up in the month of Ramadan. No. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ وَصُفِّدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. When Ramadan arrives, the doors of Jannah are flung open, the doors of Jahannam are slammed shut, and the shayateen are imprisoned and chained. The shayateen are no longer around to seduce us, to attract us, to lure us into sin, to incite us to committing evil. People ask a very famous question, well, if the shayateen are locked up, then how come we are still tempted? How come we still sin? How come we are still urged? We still feel the temptation and the urge, the irresistible urge to commit sins with our eyes, with our tongues, with our ears, with our bodies, in every way. Very simple answer. Although the shayateen are locked up, we've become devils ourselves. Simple. No further explanation need. The shayateen are locked up. Because we have befriended the shayateen for so long, they don't need to do their job anymore. They've turned us into devils ourselves. We are shayateen ourselves. Our nafs is powerful enough to do the work of shaytan without any further battery power or electricity supply from shaytan for a good whole month. So, the shayateen are locked up. Allah has made it that much easier for us. Allah has made the atmosphere and the climate of Ramadan special, unique, blessed. It's charged with barakah. The doors of Jannah are flung open so that the winds of mercy touch us even from Jannah. The doors of Jahannam are shut, so we are not affected by the heat of Jahannam or its evil in any way. Allah has made the climate, the atmosphere conducive. Allah has created the environment for us. Allah has kept us preoccupied. Allah has given us a shield during the day of fasting. Fasting is a shield. And a shield protects us from evil, from lewdness, from immorality, from sin, from evil thoughts and evil actions. As long as it acts as a shield and as long as we don't damage it. So Allah has, subhanAllah, Allah has placed a shield around us in Ramadan. Allah has kept us preoccupied with the fast throughout the day and the tilawah of the Qur'an and qiyam during the night. And that's why we should not be able to find any time in the month of Ramadan. Even if a person is inclined to sin, we are so preoccupied we don't have time. We shouldn't have time. So when you look at all this, Allah has shut the doors of Jahannam, opened the doors of Jannah, the winds of mercy blow from Jannah. Allah has imprisoned the evil shayateen and the evil jinn. Allah has promised extra rewards for every good deed so that it becomes a farad deed, and for every deed the equivalent of 70 farad deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us preoccupied with tilawah throughout the night, salawat during the day, ibadah and fasting. Fasting debilitates a person, makes him weak and hungry. In his hunger and in his weakness, he should be unable to commit sins. And Allah has given him the shield of the fast. The shield surrounds him from all four sides, every direction and in every dimension. He is shielded, he is covered and protected. SubhanAllah. If from within the shield, in the month of Ramadan, in a state of the fast, preoccupied with ibadah, dhikr, tilawah and the Qur'an, in this climate and environment of Ramadan, with the doors of Jannah flung open and the doors of Jahannam slammed shut, with the evil shayateen imprisoned, if even then he cannot earn Allah's forgiveness, then he is cursed. He is cursed. There is no hope for him. If he is deprived of the good of this month, then there he is deprived of all good. What hope is there for such a person? And okay, if in the beginning of the month he can't achieve much, then maybe in the second part of the month, if not in the second part of the month, in the last part of the month, if not every day in the last 10 days, at least in the odd nights to try and look for Laylatul Qadr. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, من حرم خير ليلة القدر فقد حرم الخير كله. Whoever is deprived of the khair, the blessing and the good of Laylatul Qadr, he is deprived of all good. Is there any hope for such a person after Laylatul Qadr and after the month of Ramadan? If he cannot abstain from sins in this month, when is he going to abstain? If he cannot do good in this month, then when will he do good? When all the incentives are there, all the environment is being created, all the attractions are there, and he still cannot do good in this month, then when will he be able to do good? Indeed, in the word, he is cursed anyway, but then he has the added curse of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with the Ameen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, so deprived is this person, so lowly and so despicable, that even in this blessed month, with everything, he cannot earn Allah's forgiveness, and he is truly cursed, and may he be distant from Allah's mercy and removed from it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ameen. So these are our final few days of Ramadan. We've already completed half of Ramadan. Not much remains. And Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, says in his Fadailul Ramadan, mentions a very beautiful statement. It's not a hadith, it's not a verse of the Quran, it's not a commentary of the hadith or the verse of the Quran. It's that he just merely quotes a statement of most people, but in a very apt way. He says that Ramadan comes, and then the whole of Ramadan passes, and all we do is daily we just scream Ramadan, 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 and the month of Ramadan passes without us doing or achieving anything. That's what indeed Ramadan, 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 Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan has started. Oh, 10 days into Ramadan, 20 days into Ramadan, it's Ramadan, and then before you know it, Ramadan ends. What have we done? Virtually nothing. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq to strive in this month, as I was explaining about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam earlier on today, as well as previously yesterday and the day before in the Dars of Quran. He would strive in this month of Ramadan in a manner that he would not do at any other time, in a manner that he would not at any other time of the year. He would remain awake throughout the night, keep the vigil to i'tikaf, wake his family, ensure that they would remain awake. He would fasten his belt, he would strive, make an effort, Allahu Akbar, all in hope of finding Laylatul Qadr. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he enables us to make the most of this, of these final few days of Ramadan. And who knows, one may not find another Ramadan again. Who knows, in Laylatul Qadr of this year, one's name has been recorded and engraved in the list of those who shall die in the coming 12 months. Who knows? Maybe this is our last Ramadan. No one has any guarantee. And in one hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you pray, pray the prayer of one who is bidding farewell to the dunya. When you make your salah, pray as though this is your last salah. So strive in this month as though this is your last Ramadan. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us all the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasooli nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Yeah, battery is nearly dead.